is. Yeah, it's very internet friendly because it's very pretty, and yeah, everyone can identify as an angry goose, apparently. Yeah. Hello and welcome to Argue the Toss from GameIndustry.com. I'm Shala.
And I'm Drew. And together we're arguing about the things that really matter in games and films and stuff.
Indeed we are, and it is Season 5, Episode 17.
Indeed it is.
And our topic today, Drew?
Okay, so today we're talking about a game which has been making the rounds pretty well, at least on Twitter, for, well, very recently because it's been released, and also for the since it was announced about a year ago. We are talking about Untitled Goose Game, which we have both been playing. Indeed, yeah. So yeah, this was one of those ones which I was always going to pick up on release. I don't know if you were the same. It was just as soon as I saw that trailer, I was like, yes, I'm going to play that.
Yeah, everybody was.
Yep.
This, like, everyone was just like, this is the game we didn't know we wanted. Mm. Thank you.
Yeah, and it's weird because it's one of those kind of very meme-friendly, very viral video-friendly kind of games which usually annoy me quite a bit. Like, Goat Simulator is something that I've never even gone near or bought because it just looks so...
Okay.
Just calculated to be meme-ish and a specific kind of humor that I'm just not into on the internet. And it's like, you know, just like holding up the cross to a vampire for me. But Goose Game is... Like, I just immediately thought, yes, I'm going to get really well into that.
Yeah.
So they pitched that really well.
That Untitled Goose Game never looked like it was going to be...
No, it was. It never looked like it was going to be...
Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. But, yeah, so it happened. Well, in case some people... Because there are some people... I've spoken to people at work who weren't really... aware of what Untitled, so we're assuming knowledge here. Yeah. Untitled Goose Game so when the trailer launched, it was just this cute looking flat color art style, quite a simple art style, I suppose almost twee, kind of cutesy, it's about a goose in a little town, in a village, you know, with a little pond and there's little park benches and people just bumbling around their business, shopkeepers and whatnot. And so you play as a goose that interrupts their lives.
A horrible goose. They're very specific about this in the marketing, that you're not just a goose, but a horrible goose.
Yeah, you are sort of, yeah. Your MO is to upset their day in any way you can. And when the trailer released, this was just stole the hearts of the industry and gamers alike. And everyone's been looking forward to it ever since. And so this weekend, like, Honk was basically trending on Twitter. Because people, you hit spacebar and the goose honks. And so everyone was speaking to each other in honks. I left my mouse at work, so I don't have a mouse on my laptop. So over the weekend, I discovered that I can't play it very successfully without a mouse. So I was sad. Fair. And then on Tuesday night, I think I forgot to bring a mouse home from work. And then people were like, sad honk.
Yeah, I mean, it lends itself very well to just being spread like that, because it's very funny to... I've seen lots of people sort of photoshopping, like, political opinions coming out of the mouth of the goose, because it's very funny to shout stuff like that.
Yeah. It is. Yeah, it's very internet-friendly, because it's very pretty, and, yeah, everyone can identify as an angry goose, apparently.
The weird thing we didn't know we all shared is that we all want to run around just irritating people.
Yeah. And I think it's just one of those games that's just, like, pure... fantasy release of all the things that might be getting people down about the world or whatever, and it just hits that note in the way like a sort of Animal Crossing might or something, that's kind of cute and just non-combative, unless
Well, the thing
not
is,
properly.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, there. Yeah, like there's no real violence in it. Like the most you're gonna do is make someone bang their head or like hammer their thumb accidentally, which is just lots of fun. It's a very slapstick silent film inspired kind of violence, which is just you know, harmless fun.
Yeah, it is. So it's described. They describe themselves as, so the development team, the studio is House.
Yep.
And they describe it as a stealth puzzle game.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've seen people, and this, you know, is completely correct. So I think I drew this conclusion as well, is like people are comparing it to Hitman. It's basically Hitman, but with a goose.
Yeah.
Because you're given a sort of scenario in which you, and a list of things to do to annoy the people within this scenario, but you can do them in whichever manner you want to. You choose your own play style, basically. It's very open and freeform as to how you achieve those goals.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you want to talk about some of the mechanics, maybe?
Like, yeah, I was going to move on.
What can we do as a goose?
I mean, yeah, so it's very simple. I've been playing it on a joypad rather than a mouse and keyboard, and I think from the way I played, I imagine it must be quite tricky to play on a mouse and keyboard because it seems so well set up for a joypad. So you have you've got a very kind of small set of verbs in this, in that you have your goose. You can move around, you can duck, you can run, and then you've got the three joypad buttons which allow you to you can either honk, make a noise, which you can just do at any point. Like, it's one of those things that does have gameplay use, but it's also fun to just do.
Yeah.
Then you've got a button to pick stuff up and drop stuff. That's all on the same button. And then you've also got a button which will allow you to just kind of raise your wings up and look slightly threatening, which will, depending on the character that you're interacting with, may make them a little bit more afraid of you, may make them back off a little. Or, again, you can just use it to emote if you like, because this is a really good game for just kind of emoting through your actions in a way that doesn't serve the gameplay, but you just kind of want to run around and be an angry goose.
Yeah.
And from there, you could... What there notably isn't, there isn't a peck button. There isn't, like, an attack, because that would be moving too much into like the sadistic part of
they
take steps to make sure that you can only be mischievous. You can't really do any actual harm,
which is very great. Nice. It's lovely.
So with that pickup button, you can just grab anything you like, anything that's not nailed down. You can probably pick up and move, and it's usually stuff that is organized and that the humans lying around don't want you to disorganize it. So you can uproot a carrot patch, you can knock some goods off a shopkeeper's shelf, that sort of thing. You're well tuned for like just harmless chaos.
Yeah. So the lists of tasks will be something like, it's usually get a group of objects, like a list of objects from around the scenario, and place them in one place.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of the puzzle, is that the human will always try and retrieve them when they discover that they're missing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the first task is to create a picnic. So you have to have a sandwich, an apple, a carrot, and various objects on the picnic rug.
Yeah.
So the human will be like, my apple's gone, and sort of like will start trundling over to the thing. So you have to do something to distract them long enough, like displace something else that you don't need at that particular time, so that they'll go and get that instead. And then so it's a constant sort of battle of sort of subterfuge and distraction, basically.
What's interesting about it in comparison to Hitman, which is a really kind of apt comparison, is that while they describe it as a stealth game, it's there are stealth elements, but it's not really focused as a stealth game. I would say like one or two of the tasks on each list that you're given benefit from stealth, and the picnic ones and the lists, get all of these items into the basket sort of things, do lend themselves to stealth. But the rest of it is, there's a lot of you just getting up into the face of the humans and just kind of trying to annoy them,
Particularly in the sort of later the later ones. It's more sort of confrontational in that way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but the first one is definitely a bit more sneaking around. And I mean the real charm of the game comes from the beautifully observed animation of the goose. It's just superb the way it tucks its beak in when it's kind of just like looking at something, and the audio, the way the slap of the feet changes when it's in water than on when it's on grass, and yeah, it's just like, yeah, that's the first thing you hear. The first thing you do is honk, and it comes out of a bush, and then its feet slap against the ground, and it's just so cute, and yeah, it's lovely. Just everything is beautifully realized in that goose, and so you have a real personality. So when I've like tried to nick something and they've been like, "Oh, what are you doing with that?" and they've taken it back, and then I kind of, my beak sort of draws in, and I just sort of like coyly just like, I'm sort of walking along going, "What? I'm not doing anything, I'm just a goose." And it's the best feeling because they're looking at you like, I know you're going to do something. It's like, I'm not. I'm just a
Yeah,
goose.
you just stand there and look innocent, and it's so much
Yeah,
fun, yeah.
it's so much fun. It just makes me laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, in general, the sound design is fantastic.
Yeah,
So not
it
just
is.
the not just the footsteps, not just the honk, but the environmental design. So there's a bit very early on in the game where you can pick up a milk bottle, and if you honk while your beak is in the milk bottle, it cuts out all the higher frequencies. And yeah, you get this just very low honk, which is a lot, which is amazing. So when you honk near a well, it will echo in the well. It's just so detailed and so just charmingly observed.
Yeah, and the music is dynamic. So depending on what you're doing, so if you're sort of creeping, it's like having, because you said it's like a silent movie, because the comedy is that sort of silent movie slapstick, and but the music is also like the sort of piano player who used to be on stage when, you know, they played silent movies. They'd have a piano player in the cinema, and so when you're sneaking, the music is like doo doo doo, and then when you're running away, it's like doo 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 sort of thing, and it's so awesome because it just adds to the whole comedy of it, and yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah, I was reading about it today. So it's Debussy Preludes
All right.
that they've used, yeah, and just sort of kind of spliced them up and layered them and stuff. It's quite clever the way they did that. And apparently it's because they had that on the trailer, and then the response was so huge on the trailer, and people were saying, "Oh my God, if the music does that in game, that would be amazing." And so they decided, okay, it looks like we've got to deliver on that, and so they worked really hard, and it is so great. It absolutely does make it. It's,
Yep, absolutely.
yeah, it has that kind of Wallace and Gromit feel, because, you know, the sort of the Wallace and Gromit, you know, that's their shtick, is they're huge and hugely inspired by silent movies, which is why, you know, those films have so great at gesture and sort of eye lines, and you know, I'm telling sort of silent stories. So yeah, and it has that real feel. It's cool.
What I also really like about it is that the village, so I know you've only got to the sort of second level at the moment, so you haven't seen a lot of the village, but I think even at that early point, this village feels very real to me. Like, so living in Somerset, I feel like I could drive, just only a couple of miles and find this village somewhere nearby. It's very, very well. It's. I don't want to say the word realistic again because I've said it like 3 times now, but it just feels so real, and it feels like they scoped out the location and taken like a real. It looks like the village from Hot Fuzz. It's just very quiet, very peaceful, very nice.
It is. It's like Vicar of Dibley kind of village, that sort of,
It's just
And
a very charming, pastoral kind of.
yeah.
It would be a nice place to live if it wasn't for this fucking
Well,
goose.
it's so true. But yeah, it is. It's great, and it does feel like a real village with people just pottering around, and then they'll go back in their shops and things until you disturb them again, and then they'll have to come out. And they it's the way that the characters look at each other, like, what is it? It's like, oh, it's this goose is fucking terrorizing me, and it's like, oh my god, let me go and like phone someone. You can sort of sense the conversations they're having and stuff. It's
yeah.
so yeah, it's so amazing. It's really cool. It's really good fun.
Yeah.
What I've got to say about it.
Yeah.
I suppose we can like say about how the puzzles kind of they sort of layer the sort of difficulty kind of layers up. I mean, I've only seen it from the first bit with the groundskeeper, where it's fairly simple, get these objects, put them in this place and try not to get him to you know, and then you have to steal something from his person and things like that. But the puzzle's fairly simple at that stage. But then when you open the gate and go into the village, it's immediately more complex. There are now three characters within sort of vicinity of each other. You know, one's inside a shop, one's outside with a sort of market stall. And there's a lot more complex tasks. I mean, one of the tasks is get someone to buy back their own goods or something like that. And I was just like, what the hell? So yeah, I'm at that state where I'm in that scene and I'm just trying to do the simplest things first. And then I'm just like, I have no idea. So I haven't seen any customers come up to that shop. So I was just,
So I really like that task because it is like it's specifically vague, and it gives you some ideas. It gets the juice flowing. It's like, how am I? So we've got a shop here. How am I gonna get that? How am I gonna get anyone to buy back their own stuff? Looking around for other stuff which I might be able to put in the shop, that sort of thing. I really like how there is a single solution to that puzzle, which from what you said, I imagine. So you haven't solved that one yet?
No, because I only got to that at the end of my lunch break today. So I was just like, I'm going to play a little bit in this level, but yeah, I'm not going to be able to solve anything major apart from
trapping
the kid in the phone box.
Which is, the easy and fun. So there is a single solution to that. I think that there might be another one which I haven't come across yet, but that's not too difficult a puzzle. You will figure that out pretty quickly because there aren't many elements to it. But I just love that it suggested like a slapstick moment. Mm-hmm. It was like, this is a scene that you could see in one of those silent comedy films. How am I going to set that up? It was really cool that was laid open for me.
And again,
not to go back to it, and like I've harped on about this in two out of the last four podcasts we did, but it's that Taskmaster thing again, where you are given a very small just instruction, and then okay, how are you going to do this? And I just really love that.
And then it's quite so at first, so there's something I sort of realized as I was playing it, that so when you put all the objects, say, on the picnic rug, if once you've ticked a task off, if that is then reversed and the human goes and picks them all up and puts them back, that doesn't then set you back, which is what I thought was happening at first. I was just like, I was like, he's just undone everything I'm doing. and then it was kind of stressful and annoying. And then, but once I realized when I went into my list and saw that it was still like struck off. So you only need to do something once to complete the entire bullet point. And then it's off, which is really good, because otherwise it would be really frustrating trying to get. So I thought that was good. And so how more complex do the scenarios get after?
So I think they ramp up pretty smoothly, I think. I've gone through two more areas after you have, and the next area has an interesting setup in which you kind of have two sides to the level, and you can travel between them through two different routes, but one of the routes keeps getting closed off to you. And one of the tasks is to transfer a lot of items from one side to the other side. And you have to do that while kind of managing your time so that you can still get back through the route that you wanted to do and switching back. So because it's the way I describe it is probably more complex than it actually is. But it does kind of put more responsibilities on you. It's like, how are you going to manage this? How are you going to distract this person? Are you going to try to avoid them? Are you going to try to take a longer route round? It becomes more of an exercise in managing the humans than the goose.
Which is
cool, because it doesn't it doesn't then take that to an even harder difficulty. As far as I know, there's not one where you're like managing a bunch of people and trying to sneak between them. Once you get onto the next level, it's kind of a different set of tasks, in the same way that like Nintendo games and Mario levels often give you a specific mechanic which you have to learn, and then at the end of the level that's done with, and they move on to something else rather than just making you do harder and harder variations of it.
I don't know that there's much else I have to say about it. So in terms of length, because I saw people finished it fairly quickly and they were sad. They were like, I'm running out of tasks and I don't want it to end. But I suppose there's sort of replayability in terms of you can go and try and do it a different way. So that's kind of cool. Were we thinking that it's about 3 hours?
What I've heard from Twitter is that it's 2 to 3 hours long, which is a bit on the short side, I think. I would have liked a little bit more content than that. I mean, I'm going to see when I get to the end of it, see how I feel about that. But
yeah,
as much as I like short games, there's definitely enough here that I could probably play like 5 or 6 hours of the same thing before it wore out its welcome.
So how many levels, how many of those notepad kind of...
I mean, I've played through 4 of them and took me, I don't know, maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours, something like that. So I would imagine that there's 5 or 6.
People are playing this way faster than me, but then, I'm doing it at lunchtime.
Yeah, lunch breaks.
Eating. So I'm having to eat and do it, but yeah. And maybe it is easier on Switch doing it.
It might be easier on a joypad, maybe.
Yeah, I can imagine it works. But it works pretty well with the mouse. I kind of mapped the keys, because I use my mouse on my left hand, which foxed me for a while, like why they'd put the keys in such weird positions. I was like, why have they put it? And I was like, because I use my mouse in my left hand.
Okay.
So I had to then go in and it's so I can use my mouse and then like type and stuff.
Never known anyone reasons. Who wasn't left-handed to do that before.
Apparently it's good for RSI and stuff, because it means that,
it means you bugger up the non-dominant hand instead of the useful one.
And I think it kind of spreads the load between your hands.
Okay.
So that your dominant hand's not going from key. Yeah. Anyway, whatever. So that's what I use. So
insane control methods aside.
Yes. So I mapped the keys, and it works. It works pretty well, but without a mouse, it is freaking impossible. On a trackpad it's just like no.
Can imagine, because you do need some fine control over like the head to pick stuff up. It's not something you can map to digital buttons.
And the other thing I found was you have to kind of do the lean forward to actually find the pickup point.
On small objects you do.
Kind of foxed me for until today. I kind of was like, oh, let me try seeing if I put my beak out. And then, because otherwise I was like, oh, this is really annoying, because I know I can pick this up, but I can't like find the exact right position. But if anyone's stuck on that, if you use the kind of crouch or lean, whatever it's called, I think it's crouch, isn't it? If you use the crouch, then you will be able to grab things that are quite small. So that's my top tip for Untitled Goose Game.
My top tip is to use the mouse on the right of the keyboard like a normal person.
Honk. That's all I'm going to say. So, yeah, but I'm really enjoying it. It makes me smile. It makes me laugh. It makes people going past my desk in the office smile and laugh.
Yeah. Like, it's a very fun game to watch as well, just because of, yeah, of that, you know, music that lays itself in, and it just, yeah, lends itself to being not cinematic so much, but I guess silent film cinematic.
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah, it's great. It just, like, really adds to the mood and just makes you laugh so much being evil. Yeah. It's great. So, even if you haven't heard of Untitled Goose Game, give it a go. It's short, it's cool, it's fun.
It's really good, yeah.
Yeah, I think even if you think that sounds weird, it's just really fun, really good fun. Mm-hmm. I highly recommend from Are You the Toss.
Two thumbs up.
Yep. Or four, because there's two of us.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to wrap on that, I think.
Yes.
I think it's time to go. So, yeah. I guess you can, like, talk to us on Twitter at ArgueTheCast, comments on gamestry.com, and in all your favourite podcast places.
Indeed.
Until next time, Drew.
Cheerio.
Honk.